Válido de lunes a jueves.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Larry, fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
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 Come on, Larry. Larry. Larry.
That's legit not funny.
Who was that? A while back, they surveyed some college students and asked them to critique old episodes of Seinfeld, which was arguably one of the funniest TV shows of all time. And those surveyed thought pretty much everything on Seinfeld was
legit not funny.
What that guy is saying is literally not funny. Yes, it was all so
inappropriate.
Inappropriate is a commie shit word, mostly deployed by commie shitheads to shame people. People with small intellects and weak egos into conforming like compliant little preschoolers. In the world of true comedy, nothing is
inappropriate.
Nothing is too soon. In fact, the sooner, the sicker. Which is why one of my favorite comics is Anthony Jeselnik. He jokes about pretty much anything. And that's how comedy should be. Nothing off limits. Let the market, the audience, decide. Back in the day, sick jokes could be funny jokes. Offensive was funny. Don Rickles and Andrew Dice Clay became superstars by offending everyone. Can't do that anymore.
That's not nice.
But life isn't nice. Eventually, we all wind up as worm food. What's nice about that? May as well take your laughs where you can get them. While you're on this side of the dirt. The DNA of comedy has not changed since the dawn of time. The foundation is surprise. If you see the joke coming, it's not funny. Other elements come into play. A major one is misfortune, other people's misfortune. But it must be fleeting. When you combine surprise with misfortune, you're on your way to comedic gold. If some fellow human being looks stupid, it's even better. Watching a guy slip on a banana peel, step on a rake, fall into a manhole. But it must end there. We don't want to see the guy paralyzed and being loaded into an ambulance and spoon-fed by his mom. There are some people who might find that funny. That's where humor steps into the sick joke zone. Funny is one thing, but disturbing, well, that's another. What's the sickest joke ever? Maybe one told by Jackie Martling, one of Howard Stern's original sidemen. It went kind of like this. So this serial child killer is walking his victim into the woods at night, and the kid, he's crying and says he's scared. And the psycho says, "You're scared? In 5 minutes, I gotta walk out of here alone." Well, that's some sick shit, but kind of funny. It certainly delivers on the surprise element. Of course, it's not funny to any victim or victim's family, but in the rational, intelligent mind, that joke should trip a wire that tells us, okay, this is fucking sick, but it's not meant to be real. It's to shock and unsettle, and it does. If comedy's written to never offend, then there is no comedy. Which is about where we are right now. By the way, Howard Stern has turned into a prune-faced vax-Nazi PC bitch. The question is, which is the real Howard? The one we grew up with? Or the 6'5" Joy Behar clone he now resembles? Comedy has been crushed by PC culture. Nothing is funny anymore. Comics don't tell jokes for laughs, they mostly say political shit for approbation, right? Clap comics, they're called. Examples would be Kimmel, Colbert, Myers, Oliver, Noah, all clap comics. If they tell a joke where a person is the butt of it, well, that person must be male, straight, Christian, and from rural America. Everyone else is off limits. If you're gonna mock one group, It's only fair to mock every group, no? Or why not just do away with the fucking groups entirely and mock everybody for any reason? That would be what Don Rickles used to do. They called him an equal opportunity offender. Comedy's become such a minefield that maybe spoken comedy is becoming extinct. Maybe we're entering a new age of silent, guerrilla, anonymous comedy. But how can someone be silent and anonymous and still funny? Well, some dude in Arkansas cracked the code of silent, guerrilla, anonymous comedy with an inspired act of vandalism. It happened in the town of Kingsland, famous for only one reason. It's the birthplace of Johnny Cash. There they have this big water tower, and to advertise their claim to fame, there's a painted silhouette of the man in black with a guitar at his feet. And some wise guy with a sharp sense of humor put a bullet, doubtless a large caliber bullet, right in Johnny's junk, which made Johnny look as if he was taking the world's longest leak from an elevation of a couple hundred feet. It was spectacular and funny and a terrific display of marksmanship, but more than that, of comedic genius. Blaspheming, mocking what others hold dear and sacred. Well, that's been a rich comedic vein since forever. I myself have a minor history of performing such acts, though nothing as spectacular as the water tower. But it's fun to denigrate others' sacred cows just to watch how pissed off they get. Any and every politician is fair game. Career politicians are all phony assholes, so ridiculing them is really, it's a patriotic duty. Probably not a good idea to put others' gods and religion in the crosshairs, but entertainers like Johnny, well, yeah, why not? I like Johnny Cash. His album, Live from Folsom Prison, was the second album I ever bought. I wore the grooves out on it, trying to figure out that lick from the Tennessee 3, which I eventually did. It's pretty simple. Somehow, I think Johnny Cash would be laughing the hardest at his pissing effigy in his hometown. His most famous portrait was him flipping the bird at the camera, his front teeth just perched on his lower lip as he was about to enunciate, "Fuck you." The decisive moment, as Cartier-Bresson said. Cash was a fascinating character. He certainly was not a musician. Clearly, he was a three-chord Johnny. As a young kid, I watched his TV show, and I'd been playing guitar long enough myself to know that for him, that guitar was mostly a prop. He'd strum a cowboy chord on the neck for some reason, rarely over the sound hole, and then he'd swing it behind his back like a rucksack and let the band take over. Which is okay. Tons of famous frontmen and vocalists do that. And I never saw Cash play anything but a traditional six-string acoustic with a spruce top and round sound hole, probably a Martin. Yet in that water tower rendering, at his feet appears to be a double cutaway electric, maybe a Gibson ES-335 or some archtop jazz guitar. You have to wonder where the artist came up with that. Elvis played a similar guitar in his comeback show. It was a Hagstrom Viking. Elvis was no guitar god, but he was better than Johnny. He was actually pretty good on the piano. Cash's voice was rough and uneven, with a very limited range. And that worked in his favor, because millions of guys, truckers and steamfitters and accountants and bricklayers, well, they could throw back a few after work, sing along with Johnny at the Dew Drop Inn, and feel confident that compared to Johnny, they didn't sound too bad, not bad at all. That made him accessible. One of the guys. They dared not try to sing along with Jay Black or Ray Price or Marty Robbins or Elvis. But Johnny, he was every man's singer. He did not set the bar too high. Emulation was easy. His first big hit, Folsom Prison Blues, which he initially claimed to have written, was directly ripped off from another artist. He also claimed not to have intended to steal it. The original song was entitled Crescent City Blues, written by a seasoned composer named Gordon Jenkins, performed by somebody called Beverly Marr. When the shit hit the fan, Johnny's handlers said he had, quote, adapted it, unquote. Well, the melody was identical. Johnny just kicked up the tempo a couple notches. And the lyrics, adapted? Really? First line in both versions is, I hear the train a-comin', it's rollin' round the bend. Well, that's word for word. Next line from Jenkins' original, and I ain't been kissed, Lord, since I don't know when. Johnny's adaptation. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. Sorry, Johnny. That's plagiarism. And the courts agreed. In the early 1970s, Jenkins pocketed a $75,000 settlement from Cash. That would be well over $500,000 in today's money. I'll post a link to the original song Johnny stole at thatlarryshow.com. Now, had Cash been a politician, I'd have hated his guts. But he was an entertainer, and entertainers should be held to virtually no moral standards because most of the entertainment industry is nothing if not fake. As 007, Sean Connery wore a toupee. In sets built for the movie Shane, they lowered the doorways so diminutive Alan Ladd could fill them. And how many heartthrob lady-killing matinee idols turned out to be gay? Clint Eastwood has 8, some say 9 kids from 6 different women. But he's only been married twice. Yet millions revere him as an icon of virtue. And those same folks revile rappers with similar paternal histories. Why? Maybe because Clint always plays heroes. Maybe because studio press flacks are the best in the world. As Mark Twain said, give a man a reputation as an early riser, and he can sleep till noon. That's pretty damn true. Entertainers and politicians can be very adept at crafting public images that are the polar opposites of their true selves. For most of his career, Johnny Cash enhanced his persona with claims that he was part Cherokee. And who would doubt that? He was tall, had jet black hair, high cheekbones. As a red-haired kid in Queens, New York, son of an Irish immigrant, I thought, that is cool. I want to be part Cherokee. A few years ago, a DNA test revealed I have more Indian blood than Johnny Cash did, which was absolutely zero. He was whiter than white. Johnny also had this affinity for convicts. A lot of that came from him staging free concerts in prisons, which was a cool thing to do. Not everyone in prison is a scumbag. The other part of the legend was that Johnny was some kind of badass jailbird himself, and he did cultivate an outlaw image. But what he was a guy with a very heavy drug habit, particularly amphetamines and barbiturates. Same as lots of entertainers. He was arrested 7 or 8 times and never spent more than a few hours in jail for each incident. When I watched him on his TV show, he had pronounced facial tics and twitches. Who knew they were drug-related? Country stars were supposed to be squeaky clean, unlike those sleazy, druggy rock stars. Once he found some success, he always wore black on stage, and other acts he toured with razzed him about it and called him the Undertaker. Now, most country stars back then wore rhinestones and sequins. And when asked about it early in his career, Johnny said he wore black because it didn't show the dirt when he was on the road. Well, that sounds plausible and legit. By the time he was a huge star with a TV show, his reason for wearing black no longer held up. Suddenly, it was a political statement. He said he wore black on behalf of the poor and hungry and the war in Vietnam. Cash also aligned himself with a blue-collar working man. That was a smart move, as C&W music fans tend not to have trust funds. So a lot of the Johnny Cash persona was artifice and spin and PR. And he borrowed what worked from his peers, like Merle Haggard, who was a decent guitar player and had a fantastic voice. Now, in his youth, Haggard was a hood, committed some nasty crimes, including armed robbery, wound up doing a pull in San Quentin. That's pretty real. Once he straightened himself out, he had a long spell working as a ditch digger, playing roadhouses for $5 and free beer. As he began to find success in music, he tried to keep a lid on his prison record. He was ashamed of it. But when his past became public, he owned it, but never glamorized it. During his term as California governor, Ronald Reagan pardoned Haggard for all his crimes. Some years back, Merle toured with Kris Kristofferson, and I went to see them at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. The Greek is a fantastic venue, set in a canyon among gnarly oak groves. There isn't a bad seat in the house. You listen to music under the stars and sometimes hear coyotes howling between songs. It's a pretty magical place. At one time, L.A. was second only to Nashville as a mecca for country music. There were dozens of cowboy clubs, most famously the Palomino, eclipsed in fame only by the Grand Ole Opry, even though it was just a glorified saloon. But all the greats played there. On the night I saw Merle and Kris at the Greek, at least half the seats were covered by camouflage netting. It's sort of a courtesy to performers who don't sell out the arena. When they look out at the audience, they don't have to see all those empty seats staring back at them. 20 years earlier, when LA was a very different city, that show would have sold out for sure. Hey, how'd I get so far off comedic vandalism and Johnny Cash's water tower leak? It's fun to hear the way the local news covered it and how it became pun-o-rama.
Kingsland, Arkansas has a real cash flow problem.
Yeah. Cash flow problem, get it?
Someone has shot the water tower of Johnny Cash's birthplace in a sensitive area.
Wouldn't it be cool if the news guy just said,
hey, somebody shot Johnny Cash in the dick?
It certainly walks the line between comedy and vandalism.
The really nutty part was, this wasn't the first time it happened.
Not the first time this happened. It happened in 1993.
So you would think, maybe after the last time, you'd just forget the silhouette and just print birthplace of Johnny Cash on the water tower. Or if you've got to have an image of Johnny, make sure he's dressed in Kevlar. Not long after the water tower shooting, some nut in Paris decided to smear the Mona Lisa with cake, which is kind of funny. Probably the world's most famous painting, and one I will never get. A less than average looking woman with the allegedly mysterious smile. Why is that great? Damned if I know. Maybe it goes back to the Mark Twain quotation, if enough experts say something is great, it must be. So this old lady rolls up to the painting in a wheelchair, and then a miracle occurs. She stands up, but wait, it's not an old lady, it's a young dude, and he smushes a hunk of cake right across the painting, which fortunately was covered with glass. Wonder if he realized how un-PC his disguise was. He was masquerading as a wheelchair-bound old lady. Isn't that ageist and sexist and cripple appropriation? Talk about disrespecting a sacred cow. The cake was good, but throwing a cream pie would have been funnier. It was always hysterical when Bill Gates was taking them in the face. What took the zing out of the vandalism was his motive. Had the nut just been there to smear cake in Mona's face, that's pretty funny. But it turned out he was some kind of greeniac, and his stunt was an attempt to save the planet. Of course, no one in the crowd attempted to stop him. There were dozens of alleged art lovers. But all they did was hold their cell phones above each other's heads to record the defacement. That's about where we are now. 22.5% through this century. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by the show page at thatlarryshow.com for 100s more episodes. While you're there, why not click that Patreon or PayPal button and support the show? There's also a P.O. box if you prefer the U.S. mail. And if you dig what you just heard, send a link to your friends and give the show a 5-star review wherever you download. It does help it grow. You can follow the show between episodes on Facebook, Twitter, and No Agenda Social. Links are also at thatlarryshow.com. My friends, exaggeration and hyperbole have always been the lingua franca of entertainment and politics. In entertainment, it matters not. Just watch something else, listen to other music. The choice is yours. But politicians' bullshit destroys nations, economies, and lives. Give them no quarter whatsoever. Call them on their lies every single time, and don't forget to mock and ridicule them whenever possible. Respect should never be given reflexively. It must be earned. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit.